Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Had to get my phone off mute. We praise God for a new day, a beautiful day, a day He has made, and we will rejoice, for He has given us life, purpose, He's given us power, and He's given us His presence. And we thank Him for His graciousness, His mercy, and His love. We will not view our circumstances, but we will view our Savior. And as we look at Him, we become aware that all things have been overcome through Him who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you this morning for joining us. We thank you for your faithfulness to the service of Words from Word. We've been doing this for 3 or 4 years, and you have just been so faithful to this process. And God has been faithful to us by revealing the reward of this process. And so we're looking at this point at several books, two books in conjunction to the book that we just finished. And so the 25 powerful promises from God and powerful prayers for supernatural results. So we just finished the transformation of the heart. It gave us all kinds of insights into what God intends to do in our heart. And now we are getting the equipping tools of how to surrender to that process, how to embrace that process, how to expect that process, and how to receive that process. And so we thank Him for just the way these things are fitting and flowing in our lives and in our journey. But I just want to share with individuals today, get a little few announcements going on, because just as He's given us this information, is also giving us opportunity to come together to experience the evidence of what we have been studying and praying over and praising God for, believing God for. And that's the experience. And it is truly a redemptive, restorative, healing experience. There are a lot of things that we became aware of that was present in our heart that we had to surrender to the circumcision of the Lord, and it had to be cut away. It had to be changed. And that was oftentimes a crisis of belief. It was a difficult time sometimes to just come face to face with the truth that you did not and was not aware of before, and how the necessity of embracing that truth becomes when we get to a certain place in our relationship with God. We do want to share the fact that the theme is come out and have an encounter with Him. It comes out of Matthew. The theme comes out of Matthew 25 and 6. It will be held on Thursday the 14th. Through Sunday the 17th at the DoubleTree Suites and Hotel and Conference Center in Dollar Grove, Illinois. The registration is online. You can go online and register. You can pick up a registration packet tomorrow, because there will be a experience meeting tomorrow at Bethany Union Church at 10 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall, where you can pick up the registration and fill it out. You don't want to miss this. They say the first 25 people to register will be entered into a drawing for a free gift. But the gift, the true powerful gift, will be the manifestation of God and him in our life. We're going to look at some of the things he shared today in the first prayer by Moses, and then in promise number two, because we're on chapter two in our promise book. I think one of the, we talked about last week, just as a summary. So I do want everybody, first of all, to register for the retreat. Powerful, powerful time. All right. And remember, all of these are things that God is placing in our journey to augment our journey, to give us a joy, to give us indication of his presence and how he is very much in charge of and has orchestrated everything we need. Everything we need. I think the important part I learned from the other book is to understand that this is what he has covenant to do with us. And we'll talk about it in the chapter two as it relates to the new covenant. But we want to be able to present ourselves for everything that he has to pour into us. And so we need to anticipate it. We need to prepare for it. We need to ask him in our prayer time, in our fast time, you know, to open our eyes to what he is intending to do. Just as we, you know, look at the first prayer of Moses, Lord, show me your glory. We have to get to a place where we no longer need his hand. Not that we don't need it, but we're not asking for his hand. We're not asking for the things he has or the things he can do. We want to know his ways so that we might know him, and then he will show us, manifest his glory all around. One of the things I generally share with people, you know, come and go, and they go, oh, have a wonderful day. And I thought, well, I don't really want to say that. And it's like, well, what do you want to say? And then I took that word wonderful, and I said, that's it, a wonder-filled day. So in other words, if signs and wonders will follow us, then throughout the day, God has wonders all around us. And if we look for them, you know, our day will be filled with the manifestation of God, and that would make it a wonder-filled day. And so that's going to be my new day. Because I got excited about that. Because when I say it, then I have to think about it. It's like, okay, what is a wonder? All right. And we'll talk about it even with the rainbow. And we'll just go right into our lesson, because everything keeps pointing to these things. So we look at the second chapter of the powerful promises. And one thing I want to challenge you, go back, because these are very long chapters, and there's so much studying that can be gleaned from them. But in the prior chapter, the first chapter, the author gives us some, consider some examples of scripture. So that he says that there's a daring statement that true believers will never face any situation in life where God hasn't already, in advance, giving them a promise powerful enough to push them through the opposition to sure victory on the other side. That's a very powerful statement. And we need to open our spirit so that Holy Spirit can just show us how powerful that is, that we have been given powerful promises that are enough to push us through. Because remember the covenant God made with us. He said, I will do this. And he's making this promise. And so as a result, he is going to fulfill it. And so it lists some situations. Are you depressed? You feel weak? Do you struggle with doubt? Are you battling sickness? Are you financially strapped? Are you thinking God will give up on you? And so it gives us a scripture. But I challenge you to get other scriptures as well, because I think as you start building, you see, because obviously it's more than just this one scripture. But we need to search the scriptures for ourselves, because chances are he's given it to you already, and you do know it. And so you need to record those here, so that when you make references in this book, you can see the scriptures that you reference. Like I have for, are you battling sickness? Jeremiah 33:6 and James 5:6. Are you thinking God will give up on you? Ezekiel 16:62. Do you feel weak? 2 Corinthians 1:22. These are powerful promises that are enough. It's all we need to push through the opposition, whatever the situation is that we're facing, to sure victory on the other side. And so we want to do that as we study. Take the challenge. Make it your own. Make it your own. Even though the author may give us information, let us, in the Holy Spirit, bring to our remembrance the things he's given us already. So I think what these books do are they're not necessarily giving us information we didn't know, but they're stirring that information up so that we can view it from a different perspective. We have a God's view. And I think one of the things he's showing us now is we don't realize how much he's done in our life. And so it's now is the time that he wants us to understand just how prevalent he has been in transforming our hearts. And so we go through this, the mystery of the rainbow. And so as we were speaking of wonders and a wonder-filled day, and we talk about the rainbow, we see it's cloudy, rainy today, and he establishes the rainbow. We understand, you know, that came from Noah, and it was covenant for Noah, for Noah to God. And when I thought about it, it's like, you know, we don't know that. But then the Holy Spirit started showing me how, you know, why does Noah need that covenant? And so, you know, you always see the rainbow. We love seeing the rainbow. The enemy likes to take and distort the rainbow, but it has its original meaning and power. And so I realized that in those days, in the days of Noah, as a place, because this catastrophic event happened, can you imagine how anxious people would be? Is it going to happen again today? It started raining. They said, oh, is it ever going to stop? Is this going to flood again? And so God knows how we need assurances. And part of the covenant that he makes with us is so that we will feel assured of his perfect provision for us. And so what he was doing to a world of people who had been wiped out, and then those that remained would live with this thought of, I remember when it rained and didn't stop for 40 days. And so the next time it rained, you know, you would get antsy. You would wonder, okay, what's going to happen? Is this going to, you know, do it like it did before, living in fear? Oh, maybe I've displeased God, and now he's going to, you know, rain us out. And, you know, and even as they had grew as family, and as they grew with their different families and became cities and nations and that sort of thing, that thought was very new, a very like a current news event. You know, it was something very current. We look at it and say, oh, it's a pretty rainbow. They looked at it as, oh, thank God. Yes, he said he would never do it again. So I have that comfort. I have that assurance, you know, that this is going to rain, but it will stop because he has promised me he won't. And so that was part of the revelation for me And then the other part was what the author shared is the fact that from high above, the rainbow is a solid circle. And the fact that that solid circle indicates the promise, and then the unseen power of the promise. So that this is the promise, and you don't see this, you don't see the other part, but it's connected, because when I made a promise, I completed it by fulfilling it already. So, and I need you to know, I made the promise, but also know that the promise is fulfilled. And then the author shares the fact that there is a rainbow around the throne in heaven, per John in the book of Revelation. So these are all things that give us indication of really God's sincere love and desire for us to be a part of his life, that he gives us these things. And they have more meaning and deeper meaning than we often attribute to them, because we just don't know. But as we study, we show ourselves approved. We don't need to be ashamed because we don't know. We don't need to stumble because now we have the revelation. We have the understanding, and we have the power. But then my notion in the on the page for this section of this, it says, from our earthly perspective, we can only see the promises themselves. But from a heavenly perspective, God sees both his promises and their fulfillment as one and the same thing. If he gives a promise, he intends for it to come to pass. And so my question to you is, do you believe it? You know, this all is going to come, I think, challenge. What do we really believe? Do we believe this promise that he made? I think that, as I said, the promise of the rainbow was a promise of comfort. It's like, you'll be okay. It'll rain. Like, it's raining today. We don't think of, well, he's not going to flood the world. But it's so far back in our past, it's not fresh in our understanding. And so we've developed. And I think that's why sometimes we take so many things for granted, because it was back in the past, and we're under the new covenant of grace, and so we really don't understand the ways of God. And as a result, we don't really know him. One of the main focuses of the experience is the names of God, knowing the virtue and the names of God in ways that we have never known before, because that's what he wants us to do. And that's us finding and seeking and being open to his instructions and his teaching, so that we might know his ways, and in knowing his ways, we will know him. And so my challenge to you is, do you believe these things that we read, these promises that he shared, do you believe? And then if you believe, this is your homework, prove it. So get yourself a promise. And if you say, I believe it, then I need you to write and share, prove it. What has your life manifest that proves that that promise you are standing on, you're believing it, you're trusting it, and you are in expectation of it? So that's the homework, along with the others. Do you believe, and prove it? All right. So, any comments, insights, questions? Okay. It also starts to then share with us that God has kept, he keeps his word. The entire world has never been destroyed again by water. What a comfort. That is really a comfort to know. We have all the floods and the different things that happen in different places that are catastrophic. But they're not totally devastating. And that is a wonder, and it's a grace that we have received, because it's not that we have been righteous, and it's not that we have been obedient. It's not that we even deserve the mercy that God has for us today and each day. So we want to look at the fact that the scriptures, we have seen when we talked about, you know, the need for these promises, it says, how can I be so sure? Because God promised and because he made a covenant, which is a binding agreement between God and his people. There are 9 major pacts such as this revealed by God since the beginning of creation. I think that you should write them down, and you should get an understanding of these 9 covenants. Because once we understand what was, we have a greater appreciation for what is. And so the covenant, they call them covenants of promise, because each covenant contains unique promises relevant to that time that empowers God's people to live victorious during their journey through the world. And so God is a relevant God, as they use that word now. So there was a covenant for creation that wasn't good enough for the covenant for the children of God and the bride of Christ. There was a greater, far better covenant, and that is the new covenant. Right now, we are living in the era of the new covenant. Yes. Okay. It says, right now, we are living in the era of the new covenant, which is described as a better covenant, established on better promises. Hebrews 8:6. My challenge to you is this. What is the new covenant? Do you know what it is? And do you know what these better promises are? We've got to stop just reading it and say, oh, yeah, that's good. What does it mean? What is it? What is the new covenant? Can we put it? Can we verbalize it? So that's my challenge right now today on the line. Who can verbalize what the new covenant is? Okay, and there was silence. Okay, and it's not a trick. It's not to show that, ooh, see, you don't know. No, but, ooh, see, we don't know. So if we have powerful promises, think about this. We have powerful promises that will usher us through our circumstances, and we don't know what they are. How can we stand them? How can we believe them? You know, and if once you start hearing, go, oh, I knew that. We have to more than have a knowledge of, you know, it's more than just a knowledge. It has to become a part of us. Not, I won't say a knowledge, but information. You know, oh, yeah, I heard that before. But now you have to live it and believe it and exercise it and integrate it into our thinking and into our emotions. And into our will, and into our actions, and into our responses, so much so that we know what the new covenant is, and what the promises are. So the author shares, first of all, he shares the 9 major covenants God has established, the covenant of creation.
Are you saying the 9 major covenants?
The 9 main covenant.
9 main covenants. Okay. So that's a new covenant.
Okay. Any other questions? Because I'm not clear, I want to be, because this is, it really is, even though it's like a simple little thing, it's a lot of powerful information. So the established are the covenant of creation that was made with Adam and Eve in the perfection of the garden. If we don't understand that covenant, we're not going to understand what God is transforming us into now, because it's going back to that covenant and that garden. The covenant of redemption made with Adam and Eve after the fall. The covenant of Noah. The covenant of Abraham. The covenant of Moses. The covenant of the children of Israel in the wilderness. The covenant with David, powerful covenant, because it points to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to know what the root of these things are and the heart of them and the plan that God, this is God's plan for us. This is his strategy. And then we have the new covenant and the everlasting covenant. Hallelujah. And so we want to be able to see how in each one of these covenants, he was dealing with his people while they were in the midst of something that they needed deliverance from. This is clear that they were in a place that they needed God's interference. They needed him to intervene or they would not be successful. And that's what these covenant promises do for us. It says in the last book, he said the throne, and they talked about the rainbow that surrounds the throne. But it says, as we go through this book, let's try to look at every promise that way, like a full round rainbow. There's a promise, and he's already fulfilled it, and so it's a circle. Praise God. The fulfillment of the promise is just as sure as the commitment God made. Now, the question is, do you believe? I love it. Because through all of this, it doesn't do a bit of good if we don't believe. If we don't believe it, or we cannot, I want to say we can't associate with it. You know, we know it's there. You know, we believe it's true. We believe it's true. But we believe it for to be true in my life.
I didn't have to pray last year. What?
I'm sorry, say it again. Hello?
I think there might have been somebody who wasn't on mute. But obviously, I got a question since you stopped for a second. When you're saying the covenant, I'm not sure, are you talking about the covenants or when you say the new covenant, like the whole idea of being in a personal relationship with Jesus, you know, with restoring and reconciling the relationship with Jesus as the mediator, you know, and sending the Holy Spirit who will never leave us, that as a new covenant being different from the covenant in the Old Testament, you know, like the Holy Spirit coming upon as opposed to the Holy Spirit dwelling within, that kind of thing, or are you talking about specific covenants like the Davidic covenant or the, you know, Noah's covenant? I'm not quite sure, and that's probably because I haven't bought the book yet.
No,
I'm not quite sure what you mean.
Fine. Well, it's the new covenant. Christ talked about it. He talked about it when at the Lord's Supper. This is the blood of the new covenant.
Amen.
So he lets us know that the whole life of this new promised relationship that God has with man is powered by his blood, because his blood is holy. And because his blood is without sin. All of the other covenants did not work because of sin and man. And so it had to come to the new covenant because of the holy priesthood of Jesus Christ was a high priest of priests. And so there was no sin in him, even though there was sin in the other priests, and God prayed for them to do different things to overcome and to, you know, with the lamb and the blood and the next sort of thing. But with Christ, now one died for all, that all may be free. That's part of the new covenant.
Miss Pastor Rogers, I was looking at it also with the teaching that you got, Apostle, and you all was teaching us with the new wineskin and coming back with communion, because this is this new wine that we take, which is the blood, and this blood cleanses us, and then we use the bread as the body of Christ to bring us back to our Father. And this covenant meaning that if we believe that we're drinking his blood and eating his body, then that's what brings us back as one in unity with Christ as well as the Father. And that covenant is nothing we can do but believe, because it's under grace. and obey. We believe and then we obey that covenant. Is this what you're saying?
Oh, well, that's what you're saying, and I'm listening. That's part of the process. So, you know, I tell you what, everybody get their Bible, Jeremiah 31:31-34, because that's going to tell you exactly what God is talking about. And I'll read it. You know what I'm teaching about? It says,
I'll be their God and they'll be my people. That is what we're making reference to.
Jeremiah 31.
But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they'll be my people.
It says, they have violated my covenant, even though I was like a faithful husband to them, saith the Lord. But I will make a new covenant with the whole nation of Israel after I plant them back in the land, saith the Lord. I will put my law within them and write it on their hearts and minds. I will be their God, and they will be my people. People will no longer need to teach their neighbors and relatives to know me, for all of them, from the least important to the most important, will know me, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their sins and will no longer call to mind the wrong they have done. All of these are promises of the new covenant that God indicated in the Old Testament and then reiterates in the New Testament in Hebrews. I got to find the Hebrew scripture. Okay. Yes, Apostle.
No, I said, okay, I get it. So we're talking about the promise that he makes to forgive our sins and restore fellowship and to turn our hearts towards him. Gotcha. Him being the mediator of a new covenant through his death on the cross. And the God in Luke 22 or something.
Yes. All of those are the promises that are in the new covenant. Say that again.
When it says he'll circumcise our hearts and the hearts of our descendants, that's the Old Testament, but it prophetically speaks to the New Testament, so that we can learn how to love him with our whole heart and with our soul, so that we can get to the point where we can live.
Okay, part of the New Testament, also of the New Covenant, is the Holy Spirit, because that's who we get now. They didn't have them back. That's why it's a better promise, because now he's given us his self to dwell with us so that he is able to perfect us. Before, they had the law, and that was it, and they could not keep the law, and we can't keep the law. So he gave a more excellent promise because he gave his son, who then was able to be our propitiation and our substitute and our redeemer, because now that blood covers our sin where it is no more. In the Old Testament, the sin was there. They had to spin it outside the camp. But this is no more to ever. He said, never would it come up again. I will purify you. All of these are things he will do. He said, I will give you a new heart. And I know that that was one of the things that he shared with me in the other book, became a promise scripture. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your body and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. I will take the initiative, and you will obey my statutes and carefully observe my regulations. Now, how does he know this? He's promised me this, so he's already fulfilled his promise, because he knows the power of his Holy Spirit, and that's what it does. for his children. And so these are some of the things that, that's from Ezekiel, and it was a foreshadowing of what was to come and how it would be a, as Christ said, a better covenant established on better promises. That's from Hebrews 8 and 6. And so we want to know what those promises are, and then do we believe them? Do we believe them? And somebody, well, let's see if we could get Hebrews 8 and 6 so that we can read.
I apologize. Can you get the, can you name this, say the scripture that you gave in Jeremiah again, please?
Okay, Jeremiah.
The one about the new covenant.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's Jeremiah 31 through 33, I believe.
Thank you.
Yeah, 31 through 34.
Oh, 34.
Well, I want to get 34 because it says, "For I will forgive their sins and will no longer call to mind the wrong they have done." That's a powerful promise. That is a promise. Powerful. If you stand on it and you believe that, you don't get caught up when you mess up. You repent because he's promised. That's all you have to do. "And I will no longer call to mind the wrong they have done." And that's just as we're to no longer call or think in our mind the wrong that people have done. We have to think of the mercies of God, and we have to forgive and love them the way God has so powerfully forgiven us. And so these are some of the things that when we know the detail of a promise, when we understand, you know, the root of the promise and the motivation of the promise, then it should transform our thinking as it relates to the promise. And then it will challenge us, do you believe? So when that situation comes, are you going to respond like you normally respond? Are you going to give a response that is based on the new covenant, and not just with God and me, but with me and man as well? I love this part, and sometimes I used to read it and I wasn't really sure what it meant. It says, "People will no longer need to teach their neighbors and relatives to know me. For all of them, from the least important to the most important, will know me, saith the Lord." And so that is something that is my heart's desire. Oh, turn the light on, baby, to understand that. Turn the light. Thank you. You know, to understand what that means. And to understand, I believe that as we are drawn closer to him, and it says people won't have a need to teach their neighbors and relatives, I believe that indicates these are people that we come in contact with, because there will be an epistle read by man. And I believe that's maybe what it's alluding to. I don't know, Apostle, if this is scholastically not good exegesis, you know, let me know. Okay. He says that you won't have to teach them, you know, because in the Old Testament, they taught them. They sat out and they went over the law and they read this and they read that, and they did this feast, and at that feast they told them this and they told them that. They told the strangers in their house, "We do it this way, that way, and the other." And he's saying, "Now you don't even have to teach people, just live it, and they will read me in you, because my spirit is in you now. You have Holy Spirit now, and he will speak for himself, and he is the teacher." So just some of the things that, you know, we've read, we've seen, you know, we didn't get full revelation, but as we do this, we get clarity about some things, and we see more clearly the power that they possess to transform us into a heart like God. Any other, everybody, good question. Any other questions? or comment or insight?
Yes, overseer. I used to have and still dealing with, you know how sometimes you've been raised in different, I guess, denominations. And then when I came into labors, learned a lot of new things that I didn't know. But sometimes you feel like you want to understand the Word of God better than you think you know it or know it. And you, I used to say, oh, I need to start all over knowing the Word of God. So some things that you're not clear about, like with the covenants and this and that, and different teachings in the Bible and how to live it out, even when you read it, getting a better understanding. So my question is, how do you, I mean, you could study the Word, but sometimes you don't get that understanding the way, how do you, when you're reading the Word of God and you're trying to say with the covenants and the new covenant and different things, like when you just read it then, I got a better understanding. But how do you get to understand the Bible from beginning to end so you can live it out the way you should? I think I'm trying to, you might understand what I'm trying to say.
Yes, I do. I fully do. And I believe that step one is we got to read the Bible from beginning to end. And so often we study bits and pieces, and that is nothing wrong with that, but that's not the more excellent way if we don't know the rest that's in there, because everything in there is taken into consideration everything that you're reading. And so everything has a foundation, and we have to understand the foundation before we could try to figure out the architecture, okay? And so I think that that's a natural process, a natural spiritual process. We learn to study. We learn to study some things and not necessarily other things. And we, you know, we go to trainings and teachings that focus on one thing and maybe not necessarily other things. But I think that what happens is that God, remember, he's orchestrated your walk. And he knows what things you need and when you need them. Sometimes in the very beginning, you know, you it wouldn't do you any good to read the Bible from beginning to end, because you don't will not have cultivated the relationship Holy Spirit has with you. You have to do it according to God's timing. And when that happens, you'll start getting a hunger to know. And so when you start, when you read it really from beginning to end, and you read it to understand what is it you, why did you write this Bible for me? God, why is the words that I'm reading in this Bible? Even the chapter after chapter after chapter is about so-and-so begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so, and this begot, and all those names and all of it is purposeful. Now, it may be not your purpose in this season, but it's purposeful. And there's going to come a time you're going to remember it's there when you're doing the genealogy of someone in the New Testament. So you're going to need to understand, oh, that's where that source was. You need to understand who came from Edom and who came from the different areas in the world today. And so those areas in the world, you need to understand the root of them. You'll understand why the Palestinians and whoever over there is fighting over that one little strip. It's in the Bible. And so these are things you didn't need to know that when you first came to Christ. But now as we're being prepared to influence the different mountains of the world, influence the different areas of society to shape and form people's thinking, that now we need to understand that so that we are proper tools and instruments for God to use in those areas. And so there are certainly so many things that I know I will never understand. And sometimes the person that counted the 7,400-something promises, they went through the Bible counting promises. I could never do that. Okay. You know, I don't even know if I can find them all. but it's okay because someone else did that. But what's important is the volume of promises that he was trying to get over. But for his life was focused on promises. I'm sure. I don't know how many years it took counting the promises in the Bible. Now, you don't have to do that because he did it. Some people did it and put it in a book and got some of them. They don't have them all, but they, you know, big books, some of them. And so they're there. So I can go and look at that resource of the ministry of that person's life, and it, that's how I get information. Just like the covenants here, these nine covenants, and you better believe ordination people are going to get this one. Because I thought about it, I said, oh, yeah, this is something we really do need to know because it's progressive and it's customized. And so the covenant for Moses was for exactly what Moses was to do. The covenant for Abraham was exactly for what Abraham was being asked to do. So he was being asked to do something, and God gave him a promise that he would give him the power to do it. And so oftentimes studying characters in the Bible gives you an insight of biblical truths. So some truths we don't get it. But then when we study the life of a particular character and we see the elements and the things that and situations that were in their life and how God dealt with them, then we get a deeper understanding. So I think it's just perseverance and seeking. He says, seek my face. And as long as that's what we're doing, then he'll reveal himself to us through the things in the Bible. So you may not have known then, but now you know now. And you got a book, and it's on page, and you can turn to that page, and there are those nine covenants. Wow, right
yeah.
there.
Pray for understanding.
Amen. Yes, yes. Good question. Good question. You know, sometimes the enemy wants to beat us up. You don't know, and you don't this, and you don't that. It's like, you know what? We have to remember the part of the covenant promise is I will. The Lord said, I will write it on your mind. I will put it in your heart. He's going to do it. So do you trust him to do that? And our answer has to say yes. Do we believe that he will? Now, sometimes we trust him to do it, but we really don't believe he's going to do it for me. You know, and that was one of the other books. You know, we have to expect it. We have to want it. We have to get excited about it. And as he said, thank him. You may not see the whole rainbow in a circle, but the parts you do see, know that the answer is there because it's a complete circle, and praise him anyhow. You know, praise him like you've seen the answer. Praise him before you know the answer. Worship him for his faithfulness because he has provided an answer. So.
Wow. And thank you because. Thank you. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just saying when I listened to what Minister was talking about, because for me, and I studied the Bible every year for years, and I had somewhat of an understanding, but I knew that I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. So sometimes God places us when we seek him and he knows our heart, he places us with individuals that will lead, guide, and help us along with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lead us or connect us to his spirit where we can grow. I'm just me again. I'm going with what I've learned and what I'm learning. This is the scripture I'm thinking when he says forsake, not just forsake yourself with one another. I paraphrase that scripture because it goes different in different Bibles. But anyway, this is why he wants us to come together at such a time as this, because we're learning over the phone. And then now, the things that I knew or I thought I knew is more clear. And then instead of me trying to make it happen, I can walk by faith and allow God to do it. Because I always heard him say, slow down, Diane, I'll do it. But then I couldn't slow down because I wanted it so bad. But now, even with this, he's saying, obtain a more excellent ministry by now, how much also he is the mediator. So if we meditate in the word day and night, it's going to be God that bring everything to pass of what we're thinking about, or what we're giving to him. And I can just say it's getting much easier to be able to let go and let God do it.
Now, I will say this, and I think it's wonderful insight that you're giving, that he's giving to you, and I know that you may not have been in the journey of the books that we've been reading, but those that have, you need to just read the title of what we have looked at, and you'll see how the titles are stepping stones. Well, the main book in that title, not the main, but the most prevalent one is Absolute Surrender. And that's because we can't get closer to an understanding about God until we surrender those things that we were holding true to. And we have to just let them go. And God can't fill us with revelation if we're filled with raggedy stuff. And so it's just some stuff we just have to get rid of. And we were learning in that book, you know, oh, wow, Absolute Surrender. I didn't even want to do the book. Just the title, you know, gives you a challenge. But that's what God requires. And so as we are obedient in him purging us, and that was the vine in him, excuse me, pruning us as we have surrendered to his hand, shaping us and causing us to forsake some things that should be. Now he's able to fill us with truths about himself. If we got that kind of revelation in the shape and the carnal state our mind was in, I'll say 5 years ago, we would not have been able to manage it or even to coexist with it without great error. And so that has to be, and that's God, that's his wisdom. He knows that that's the sort of thing that he is doing with us. So wonderful insight, and it really does give us, when we look at it that way, you can see the process and the progress that God is having in our life and in our spiritual growth and development. Amen. Any more insights, Revelation?
Overseer?
Yes.
When I got on a little late, but when you were talking about the rainbow, I thought it was just really powerful. I never really thought about the rainbow as being a circle. You know, I always think about it being a half circle because that's all you see. You know, so and sometimes you can just hear something, and I know that that's one of those things that'll just stick in just because I just never thought about it like that. And what that made me think of, really what it made me think of first was something in Colossians that I was going to read, but I decided not to read it because it just gets, I just think it's more than whatever. Colossians 1:16 through 21 just talks about the supremacy, but in something that's more familiar. Well, I want to read Isaiah 55. Okay, I'm going to read that, but I just figured like they were like, okay, come on, you're going to read all that. I mean, it's only like six verses, but still.
Read it.
So Colossians 1:16 starts off saying, "For in him," when we're talking about the new covenant, the better covenant, two verses came, that one in Colossians and then one verse in, or two verses in Isaiah. But Colossians 1:16, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusations. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. When I was thinking of the whole new covenant, that was the, you know, when I think of the new covenant, I mean, I know we generally go to Hebrews, and I just want to read this one other verse out of Isaiah 55. I have to go to it. Give me 1 second. Isaiah, thank God for smartphones. Isaiah 55. We always know 11, but I'm starting at 10. Because, well, you know, can I start at 8?
Yeah,
my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And then he says in the 12th verse, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. You know, and then it goes on. But just that whole idea, you talk about the promises already being fulfilled, that he even tells us in the Old Testament that, it, you know, if I said it, whatever my word is going out to do, you know, you can, this lady at our church who says, I'm trying to think how she says, one for sure and two for certain, you know, you know, that you can know that it's going to happen. Because he's already done it, you know, and he is faithful and cannot lie. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, that whole rainbow thing, that's a very interesting premise. I never even thought about the rainbow from the Noahic covenant to the rainbow around the throne in Revelation. I never even thought about those two things.
Hallelujah.
Connected.
It was the first,
Arthur.
You
know. Tell us the verses you read.
The first one was Colossians 1:16, probably the 22. The second was Isaiah 55:10 through 12.
Colossians what?
1:16 through 21.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay. And one of the things the author shared about the rainbow was the fact that his father was a aviator. He, you know, flew planes. And his father told him, when you go high enough up and look down, you see the circle. So it's from our perspective that we don't see it. And yet, the scripture that you said, he says, my thoughts are higher than yours. If we get high enough, he will give us that insight. And so when we, the author's father shared with his son, he says, when you go very high, and think of going very high in the spirit realm, high and closer to God, and you look upon things, you see the fullness of them. And so people in airplanes, that it must be more than just, you know, a commercial flight. But way up high, looking down, the rainbow is a circle. You know, so it's not something that, you know, somebody says it is. I mean, you can look at it today, and it's a full circle. So
that's
just, because, you know, that it is. That's really.
And you know, obviously, I think that the parallel in the natural that it is so easy for all of us to understand, as you go up in your job in a corporate ladder, you get a totally different perspective.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, oh, you guys are so stupid. Why would you do this? This is so horrible for the workers. Or as you get older and you think of your parents, you know, you understand from a it's all about perspective, you know, that, you know, you can see how different decisions would be made and how and I guess the navigating of that is being able to keep the perspective and still do the right thing so that, you know, you get that trickle-down effect, you know, so you're still doing the right thing. Because I think sometimes we can receive revelations and, I don't want to say it puts us in a different place, but then sometimes then we lose sight of some of the boots on the ground kind of thing, that, you know, that you still got to, in God's economy, you know, you still got to love your brother, you know, you still got to do the right thing, and, you know, and it all works. So when I say in the natural, I just meant just generally, you know, the higher you get a different perspective. But in God's economy, the perspective is the same for everybody. You know, the love is the linchpin, you know, the anchor, no matter what we do. If we're doing it in love for God's glory, you know, it'll work out.
Amen. And in that corporate thing, I want us to also make it spiritual, because in the hierarchy of the church, you know, it's that same concept. When you sit on a pew, there's a lot of things you won't understand that happens in the pulpit. You know, there may be a lot of decisions. You would make a different decision. But the higher up a person goes and the more responsibility they have, their thinking is higher than our thinking. You know, because I don't even have to consider that, and they're considering this, that, the other. It's like, goodness. But we don't know that. And so we tend to judge based on our limited knowledge, which just makes even the journey even more difficult. So when we understand and can and respect and get the spiritual perspective of who we are, where we are, and how we are to interact with one another with that heart, a non-judgmental heart, a non-critical heart, all of those things, then the leadership will be even more powerful, because the fellowship will be in line with the harmony of the Word of God, which is why there's so many one another, because God understood just how vulnerable we are to focus on ourselves and our limited understanding. So, good insight, very good insight. Anyone else? So I would need to poll people. Does everybody have the book of Powerful Prayers for Supernatural Results?
No.
Don't have it yet.
Okay.
No, not yet.
Okay. But does everybody have the 25? Okay. 25 Powerful Promises of God?
Not yet. When I was looking for it, they only had.
It was audio.
But I haven't looked back online yet.
Oh.
Okay.
Which one are we getting first, Overseer? The prayer?
So far you're doing the 25 promises. 25 powerful promises.
25 promises. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And that one we can get audio, right?
Yes. That's on audio.
Audible.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. But honestly, the 25 supernatural prayers really go along with these promises. And so that's why I don't want to necessarily bring it into if people haven't studied it. And then maybe I'll just bring it into it and, you know, I really suggest that people, you know, as soon as you can, get the book, because there are points. They have prayer points that help us understand. Say, for instance, Moses' prayer: "Show me your glory." Just five words or four words, I'm not many of it. But anyway, and so there's a whole power structure that those words held, to the point where this is how you pray. And your prayer motivates God to make you promises. So Moses prayed just that one thing: "Show me your glory," four words. And when he prayed that prayer to God, I just want to read this to you. This was God's response. And that's what we want. You know, and we do want to see him and know his ways. God said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you." That's one thing. "I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you." That's another. "I will be gracious to who I'll be gracious." That's another. "I will have compassion on who I have compassion." He says, "You cannot see my face, for no man can see my face and live." However, the Lord said, "Here is a place by me." Now he's giving him position. "And you can stand on the rock." Now he's giving him power, because we know what the rock is. And so he's giving him revelation. All of this because he said, "Show me your glory." He prayed. He says, "So shall it be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock." Now, that lets us know he's putting us there. He's putting us in Christ, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. So in other words, he's going to cover us with his hand. His hand is going to do all that needs to happen to us, and nothing's going to come to us because his hand is there. He said, "And then I will take away my hand, and you will see my glory." And so all Moses prayed was, "Show me your glory." It wasn't 15 minutes of, "Oh, in the name of Jesus, da, da, da." He just said, "Show me your glory." And that one prayer got this kind of supernatural response from God. And that's where we want to be. We want it to be so power-focused that, you know, it gets God's immediate attention. And he responds to it because we have acknowledged the supernatural nature of the God of glory. So we want our prayers to invoke supernatural promises from God. All right. So I think you'll have fun in actually both books. So when you get a chance, you know, check it out. I may have one extra of powerful prayers. Powerful. Is that what that book was? Yeah. I think I have one extra. But anyway, so we will meet again on this week, so Friday, our 10 o'clock, Friday Fellowship of Learning. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. All right, and enjoy your worship. And don't forget the meeting tomorrow at the church, 10 o'clock, at Bethany Union in the Fellowship Hall. There's some exciting things going on at this experience. So you really want to be in on it so that you can prepare yourself spiritually to experience it. I don't think it's the kind of thing you can walk in the door and get the full impact of it. You have to have made preparation before you get there. I think part of our preparation is these books of promises, and is the teaching, the different teachings that go on at Labors for Christ on Wednesday, on Blog Talk, as well as CCTI on Blog Talk on Monday. And so you want to make yourself available to the Word so that the Word can get intertwined in our thinking, in our emotions, and in our actions. So God bless you, and talk to you next week or sooner.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.